Hey, what an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Ben and Petraea. It's always an honor to come and be with you folks. And I was telling them, you know, we think of you folks a lot, and we pray for you often. And I want to tell you a little bit of our story, because I just like to do that real quick. My wife, Janice, and I came out of the drug culture of the 70s. We still got a little bit of that hanging on, but for the most part, we're good now. We came out of that, and God really healed our lives and redeemed us. And so I'm glad for this redemption theme today. This is really great. But he changed our lives and redeemed us. After 3 years of marriage, we were separated. We hated each other. Our marriage was basically over. Long story short, he began to work in our lives, changed us. This year, we will be celebrating 41 years of marriage together, which... You know, it sounds like a long time, but we were really young when we got married, yeah. So, we have two adult grown sons, both married, both in the ministry. They've given us 5 grandchildren. Our oldest son has been working with us at the church that we're at in Fort Dodge, Iowa. We've been there for 31 years. We went there in December of 1985 and have been there for 31 years pastoring that church. Our oldest son is with us. He came on right out of high school. He came on as a custodian in the church, and then he became the associate youth pastor, then the youth pastor, then the associate pastor. And in January of this year, this is a process that we've been working on for several years, but in January of this year, our son became the lead pastor of the church, and I became his associate. That's a lot of fun. But it's going really well, and we're thankful for what God's doing in him and in his family. Our youngest son was our worship leader for 9 years, and he took a position in Ankeny, Iowa at a large Lutheran church as the music director there and doing a great job there. And so we're very blessed. Our oldest grandchild turns 8 today, in fact, and so we're blessed to have this family and this family. And we really are honored to be here. It's always such a joy to come. You're always so welcoming to us and provide such hospitality and graciousness, and we love you. We love your pastor and his wife. You know, we were saved out of that drug culture back in 1979 at a church called Country Mission Church by Swaledale, Iowa, pastored by one Lloyd and Doris Lamb, Pastor Ben's grandparents. And so we have a longtime connection. I have stories in case you're interested. But we have a longtime connection, and very, very grateful to be here. I'm actually going to sing a song this morning. I've been a musician for 40, too many years. And so I'm gonna sing this morning a song called Redeemed. In fact, a number of years ago, I heard this song by Big Daddy Weave called Redeemed. I thought, man, that is a really good song. And I kind of hooked onto it. You know, I just really like that song. And so if you're familiar with the song, it's going to sound a little different because there's a major keyboard kind of leads that song, and a little band behind it. If you haven't heard the song, it sounds exactly like the way it's going to sound today. So anyway, I'd like to have my wife share for a few moments while I get ready.
Oh, he's so fun, yeah. It is a joy and a pleasure to be here this morning. We love Visible Church. You're fine. And Ben and Petraea, and just excited for what God's doing here. You know, I know you're still a young church, and I can remember coming to Fort Dodge, and I think the church then was about 130, 40 people. Nice size for, you know, our first church. Within a year, we were able to preach it, teach it, whatever, down to 30 people. And it seemed like we stayed at 30 people forever, and our goal was to hit 100, and we would go up to 99, and then we'd go to 75, and then we'd go to 98. It was crazy, but God has blessed the work there. We're in a town of about 26,000 people, and we're kind of a hub for a lot of rural communities around us. The church's average attendance right now is 350 people. It was larger, but there was a great exodus from our area because of our job economics that had changed a few years ago. But, you know, none of that really matters. It just matters that lives are being changed. Numbers aren't important, except they represent lives changed. And many times people have asked us, what have you done to make a church grow? And, you know, really, when it comes right down to it, all we can say is we stayed. We stayed the course. Because what we found out is God is faithful. He's faithful. Even when we feel faithless, he remains faithful. And there's times that we felt like giving up. There's times we felt like throwing in the towel. There's times that we rejoice because awesome things were happening, and there were times that we thought nothing is happening, and we still smiled, and we stayed the course. Many times did we resign to ourselves on a Sunday afternoon. We quit. But then we'd roll out of bed and get back up and do it again, you know. And I just want to encourage you to stay the course, because God is faithful. You're not going to do it perfect. You're not going to do life perfect. None of us do. We are not perfect. The only way to get perfect is to die and go to heaven. And so just, you know, embrace who you are and who God has made you and what he's doing in you, and let him use you right now in this place, and just watch and see the faithfulness of God. He is so faithful. And so stay the course. Pray for your pastors and your leaders, and just dig in and lift up their arms in prayer and be there to serve. I know that's what you do. I can feel it here. We met several of the leadership last night, and this is an awesome place, and it's an awesome start, but there's more to come. And so just stay the course, because God is faithful and he will answer prayers. It won't answer maybe like you see it. It won't probably be in the time you think. He's eternal. He just thinks he has forever, you know, and he just seems to take his time, but he's faithful. So stay the course. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Awesome. Thank you, honey. Absolutely. He's building for eternity, right? And we tend to see things, you know, day to day, but God looks at the big picture. He sees things for eternity. And again, I appreciate this service, this concept of redemption, that's kind of seemed to be a recurring theme. And when I was praying about coming, I felt like the Lord gave me a message actually about redemption and this song, Redeemed. And I really, you know, wanted to do that. And I just as we were sitting here, I decided to Google the word redeemed just to see what Google has to say about it, because, you know, St. Google knows everything. And everything that's on the internet is true. So anyway, I was looking at this word redeemed. And it said, to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. You know what? God redeemed me. He compensated for my faults and my bad aspects. And I had a lot of them, right? It also means to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. And so Christ has paid the price to buy us back. And you know what? He paid full price for a bunch of fixer-uppers. I mean, normally when you buy a fixer-upper, you get a discount, right? Because you got to put a lot of work into it. But he paid full price for us to redeem us, to buy us back into his presence, into his grace, into his life, so that our lives could be forever different. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, give this a try. Okay?
Seems like all I could see was a struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner, say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me shake up these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Oh, my life I have been called on. By the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. Shake up. off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, 'cause I don't have to be. The old man inside of me, his day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, new life, I'm not the same, and I hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed, you set me free, so I shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, no, I'm not who I used to be, Jesus, I'm not who I used to be, 'cause I am redeemed. Thank God,
share a few thoughts with you this morning on that subject, but I wanted to do it from the book of Ezekiel. And so I want to begin, you're going to be pretty familiar, I think, with this particular this storyline that we're going to be sharing today on the subject of redemption. And so I want to just pick up in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1, and it says this: "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones." So this verse begins with, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." Now in Jewish thought, in ancient Jewish thought, and still true today, the idea of God's hand being on someone meant that God's direction, his blessing, his presence, his leadership, his care, his grace, his guidance rested upon someone. And so we want the hand of God on our lives, right? How many of you want the hand of God on your life? His guidance, his direction, his blessings, his peace. And you know, as we come here and we're worshiping and so appreciate the worship time and the time of lifting up and magnifying the name of Jesus, and it's very clear, you know, that the hand of God is on this body. I believe that the hand of God rests upon this body for that very purpose of guidance and direction and peace and blessing. God's hand is on you. I believe this is a work of God's presence and work of God's hand in this community, in this area. And so the hand of God is on his life, and it says that the hand of the Lord was upon him and he set him down in a valley. Now, the valley is always a low place, right? The valley is a place that is considered, again, in Jewish thinking, it would be synonymous with a place of struggle. The valley, if you ever go through a valley season in your life, I mean, know what I'm talking about with that. You just kind of go through kind of a low time, kind of a rough time. And, you know, sometimes in the valley, you can't see very far. You just kind of see the valley and you see these rises, these mountains, and you know there's something out there beyond the valley, but you just feel like you're kind of stuck in that valley. You can't see very far. And it's synonymous, that idea of valley is synonymous with challenges and hopelessness, even death. In Psalm 23, you know, the psalmist talks about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," right? And so that even death is, that the valley sometimes looked at as a type of death, just going through a very deep, very dark, very difficult place. It's the mountaintops where we want to be, right? Because on the mountaintop, you can see a long distance and you're on top of the world and everything's going good. How many'd rather be on the mountaintop than in the valley? Amen. Right, of course. You know, you can't get to the mountaintop without going through a valley to get there, though, right? Because that's kind of what happens. There's valleys and there's mountaintops. But, you know, the mountaintop, that's the high place. That's victory. That's where you can see a long ways, and it seems like everything is clear and everything is great, and we appreciate those times. But God took Ezekiel, and he put him in a valley. But it wasn't just a valley. It was a valley full of dry bones. And there's some controversy among theologians. I don't really care one way or another whether this was an actual physical place and Ezekiel was actually physically placed in a valley of bones or whether it was a vision or something that he saw. And again, really, it doesn't matter too much. But you find yourself in a valley of bones. You know, I mean, if you're going to post this on Instagram or on Snapchat or Facebook or something, you know, you take the picture and it's like, I'm in a valley of bones. Hashtag yuck. I mean, this is not a great place to be, right? I don't want to be in a valley full of bones. This is not what I signed up for, right? You know, but still, there's a purpose in the valley. And I have to say that Janice and I have been through a lot of valleys, a lot of low places in our lives together. Individually, we've been through some of those low places. You know, the valley of addiction is a dark place where you don't see very far and things are not great. And we've went through, you know, challenges of those kind of things in our earlier years. And the valley of death, we lost our first son. His name was Christopher Michael. We lost him a number of years ago. Our very first child was back in 1980. And so it was a long time ago. You know, we've had challenges even since we've been Christians that nearly destroyed our marriage. Just the challenges of life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are challenges. Even as believers, we sometimes end up in valleys that we're kind of surprised by that valley experience. There have been challenges in our ministry. You know, if you're going to live in this life very long, you're going to go through some valleys. I'm not speaking doubt. I'm just being real. Jesus said in this world we would have tribulation, John 16:33. And that means valleys, low places, struggles, challenges, trouble that would come our way from time to time. And here's what I've learned, though. Now, you look at this with Ezekiel. When you go through a valley, God has a mission for you in the valley. It's not just going through the valley. There's a mission in there. There's a purpose in it, not just for our lives, but there's a way that he wants to use us. You know, I can't even begin to tell you, because of the addictive life that we've come out of, how many addicts we've been able to help through the years. For 26 years now, I've been volunteering at an in-house drug rehab program in our town in Fort Dodge. And going in and doing a group once a week, and we bus those folks into church on Sunday morning, and we bring them in to hear the word. And on this last Easter, just a few weeks ago, we did a baptism. We baptized about a dozen people, I think, and probably half of them were addicts. You know, and it's great to see them to get in the water and to give a quick testimony. You know, I've been clean and sober for 6 months, and I thank God for my deliverance. I've been clean and sober for 9 months or a year, and we baptize them and pull them back out. And, you know, it's exciting to see God doing that. But because we went through that valley, we can relate to people who are in that valley as well. We know couples who have lost infants. I can't even begin to tell you how many funerals I've done for people in our community who maybe didn't have a church or a connection and lost an infant child. And because the funeral directors know our story, would ask us to come in and do a service for them. We can relate to them and encourage them and help them. We've worked with a lot of couples with marriage issues, people struggling in ministry. We've been able to help in those times because of what we learned in the valley. When we go through the valley, it's not just a journey through a dark place or a deep place. It's a place of growth. It's a place of development. So here's Ezekiel. He finds himself in the valley. Look at verse 2. He said, he led me back and forth among them, among the bones. And he said, I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So there's two things about these bones. There's a whole bunch of them, and they're real dry. So they've been laying out in the open valley. You know, and they're out there in the elements and the rain and the sun, and they've been there a long time. These bones are dry, they're brittle, they're dusty. They're just old, dry, dusty bones, and there were a lot of them. They were remnants. They represent remnants of a vibrant past. They represent remnants of a better time, a time when there was life, when there was vitality, when they were a strong army, when they were a group of people that could live and that breathed and made a difference in the world. And suddenly they're just a bunch of bones. That word, where we read that word dry, I like to understand words. When I read something like this, I want to know, what does this mean? And so I looked up the word dry, and the original word, the Hebrew word, is yabash, and it literally means ashamed, confused, and disappointed. And you ask yourself, how can a bunch of dry bones be ashamed, confused, and disappointed? Well, if we jump ahead a few verses, to verse 11, it says this in verse 11. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we are cut off. At this time, the nation of Israel had been taken captive by the Babylonians. They were in captivity. And they were captivated because they'd not walked with God, they'd not followed him as he wanted. wanted them to. And this was what happened. It wasn't even so much a punishment from God. It was a process of sowing and reaping. They sowed seeds of disobedience, and they reaped this bondage, this captivity. And God was giving them a word. He's saying, "These are my people. My people feel like they are ashamed, confused, and disappointed. They knew what the promises of God were. They knew that God had given them these promises, and yet they find themselves in bondage to a foreign nation. They're ashamed, confused, and disappointed. And this verse says, you know, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we're cut off. And these bones represented God's people. And I was thinking about that. They were dry, ashamed, confused, disappointed. They felt hopelessly cut off from God. And I just think about, you know, today some of God's people, some of Christ's followers today, find themselves in that same condition. I've been pastoring for a long time, ministry for a long time, and I know that sometimes as followers of Christ, I know this personally, as followers of Christ, we are indeed alive, but sometimes there's just a little dryness to our spiritual life. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? I mean, we are alive. We know we have life in Christ. You with me? But there's also, we sometimes feel like there's something maybe missing a little bit. We're maybe dealing with shame, confusion, disappointment. We know that we have life in Christ, but something just seems to be missing. Maybe we're going through the motions, but it just somehow feels dry, lifeless, or maybe even hopeless. We go through struggles. We go through things in our lives that we're not quite sure about. You know, we might struggle with our faith because maybe we prayed for something to happen and it didn't happen the way we thought it would. Anybody ever had that happen? You pray for something, you believe for something, and it doesn't turn out the way you had hoped it would, the way you prayed and expected it to. And sometimes those kind of things can leave us feeling just a little bit of question, or maybe we get consumed with life, with just working and paying the bills, you know, and dealing with spousal disagreements. Not that ever happens in the church, but sometimes husband and wives, you know, have little spats, little things, and it can become discouraging sometimes. It can become part of our lives. Issues with children, issues at work, maybe financial issues, pride, lust, greed, all these things that are just part of life. If we're not careful, they can creep into our lives and we find ourselves going through the motions but feeling dry, ashamed, confused, disappointed about where we're at in life. And this can happen for us individually. It can also happen for us in a corporate setting, in a body of people. But God's desire, even in those moments, is that we remember that he has the final word on this stuff, right? So he asks this question. Here's verse 3. He asks this question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And what he's asking is, can these bones recover? Can these bones come back to life? The real question he's asking, can these bones be redeemed? Can these bones come back to life? Can this valley of bones become a living, breathing, thriving group of people again? And I love his answer to it. His answer is just simply, "Oh, sovereign God, you know." In other words, you're saying, I'm not really sure about this, but I know that you have the answer to this. And so the question is, can these bones recover from their shame, from their confusion, from their disappointment? Can we be fully aware of the fact that there's a God who breathes into our lives today? And if we feel that shame or confusion or disappointment, or if we feel like there's something missing in our lives, I have good news for you. There is a God who is a redeemer. And he doesn't just redeem our lives once and bring us, you know, in our lives from a drug culture and from just living for ourselves into salvation, but he redeems everything about us. He redeems us when we go through those valleys and we go through those difficult times. He wants to be there with us and for us. In the next verses, I love this. God begins to speak to Ezekiel about this and tells him to speak his word. Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Something's beginning to move. He begins to speak the word, and something begins to happen. I believe the word has been spoken today over this body, and we heard a prophetic word about looking to God, getting a hold of what he has for us. But also just this whole concept, and it's kind of been replayed through the music and through the skit, this idea that God is our redeemer, that he buys back. He paid the price to make our lives different than what they may seem. So he says, "I began to prophesy," and he hears this sound, rattling, bones coming together. Verse 8, he says, "I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." So Ezekiel begins to hear something. He begins to see something moving. Something is changing. You know, something is beginning to happen. He sees the tendons, the muscles, the flesh. Something's happening. The word created change. And I'm telling you, the Word of God creates change in our life. And I have really good news for you. If you are even a little bit ashamed of something in your life today, if you're even a little bit confused or a little bit disappointed, if you feel a little bit dry today, the Word of God puts flesh back on our bones. The Word of God gives us hope. And the Word of God today is that He wants to relieve us. He wants to remove all that shame, confusion, disappointment, the struggles that we might feel like we're in the middle of today. God is bigger than those struggles. Hearing the Word puts meat on our bones and equips us for life. I believe God has a word for this church, and His word for this church is that His hand is on this body, His hand is on your lives, and He's leading you and guiding you in the time frame and in the way that He desires for this body to be led. God is doing exactly what He wants to do in this body right now. You need to rest assured of that. You need to rest assured that God is doing exactly what He wants to do right here. Verse 9 says this, He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. The next verse, so I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet against the army. So let's just review this. He's in the valley. He sees the bones. God speaks to him and says, speak the word of the Lord over these bones. And so he starts speaking encouragement to dry bones. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, preaching to people who can respond, you don't get much of a response. Here he is speaking the word to, I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking about other churches. Here he is speaking the word of God over a bunch of dry bones. I mean, there's not much hope that he's going to get much of a response from these bones, but he's speaking the word and suddenly these bones begin to move and the bones start coming together. And that's where we get that old song, you know, the chin bones connected to the knee bone or however that, I don't think that's quite right, but it's something like that. You know, the bones all get, hear the word of the Lord, right? All these bones get connected together and it's bone to bone. So it's all skeletal structures begin to come together. It's not like my wife's arm is getting attached to me. It's my arms. These bones are all coming together in the right place. You know, I realize that when God puts a body together, He knows how to bring the bones together to make a body that's going to be vibrant for Him. And sometimes that's exactly what He does. He brings together just a lot of dry bones, but then He begins to speak the word and life begins to come and flesh begins to come and things begin to change and stuff begins to happen in our lives. All of us are people in need of a Savior. We're all people in need of a Redeemer. And we come together, sometimes we'll come together on a Sunday morning, and I don't know if you've ever been this way. As a pastor, I have. I've come into church sometimes on a Sunday morning in my church and really not really feeling like I was really connected or like I was really, you know, on top of things. Anybody else ever have challenges like that? And you come in hoping that something happens to get us fired up again, you know? Well, when you're the pastor, you kind of have to be the one sometimes doing that. But, you know, we come together sometimes dry. We come together sometimes broken, ashamed. Maybe something just happened. You know, that idea of shame is feeling guilt, feeling remorse for something that we did that we shouldn't have done or that we didn't do that we should have. And that can happen in our lives, right? We can have moments in our lives where we just, you know, I really missed it there. I really shouldn't have done that. And I did it again, and here we go. And that shame can begin to eat away at us, or confusion about where our lives are, disappointment about where we're at in our lives. Some people just, you know, we thought we'd be someplace else by now, or our lives would be further along, and there's confusion sometimes, disappointment that goes with that. And we come together, and sometimes we come together as a lot of dry bones, but when the Word of God begins to flow and when God's presence begins to move in our lives and His hand is on our lives, suddenly everything begins to change. He puts meat on us. He gives us confidence. He gives us assurance. He lets us know that He's with us. Even if we feel like we're in a valley, He's still there. He's still with us. And so these bones begin to come together. And then suddenly they're covered with tendons and muscles and the skin covers them. And so now there's these bodies laying instead of just dry bones. There's bodies laying there, but there's still no life in them. They're just laying there, dead bodies. And then God speaks to him and says, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the breath, and command the breath to come from four corners and breathe into these slain. And so he prophesies, and when he prophesies to the wind and to the breath, suddenly all of these bodies have life again. And they stand up, and it says they stand up as a vast army. So this was an army of people. This is an army that at one time was a strong, vibrant army that had a mission, that had a purpose, that had a vision of their lives being something that through some kind of a process ended up in this dry condition, and now here they are, revived, restored, redeemed, back to the original people that God intended them to be all the time. And here's the deal. This was a message that he was sending to the nation of Israel, that even though they had fallen away from God, his grace, this is under the law, his grace was great enough to bring them back into a place of being a nation of people again, to hold their heads up again, not to have shame, not to have confusion and disappointment about where they were, but to hold their heads up and know that God had redeemed them, that he'd bought them back for the purpose in which he had intended them. And sure enough, God brought them back out of bondage, brought them back into their own place, and that's what he did with Israel. But this whole thing, this whole little story of Ezekiel 37 is God giving Ezekiel a message in story form, like what we were talking about this morning, a message in story form that this is what I'm going to do with Israel. And I'm not saying that we're here this morning and our lives are a mess and we're all ashamed and confused and disappointed. I just know that when we live in this life, we go through valleys. And I know there are some of us today that feel like you're in one of those valleys where things are a little dry. Or maybe you do feel some shame or some confusion or disappointment. Or maybe you may not even have a relationship with God at this time in your life and just wonder about your life. And does God care? Is there a God that would care about me, that would want to do anything in my life? And the good news is, God does care about us. And no matter what we're going through, where we feel, maybe you feel like you're on top of the world. Maybe you feel like everything is going great in your life. Just tuck this message away because you might need it tomorrow. Things change, right? I'm not speaking anything bad over your life. I'm just saying things change. And we go through stuff sometimes. But this breath suddenly comes and enters into them. And it reminded me of a couple of things. Back in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the earth, right? And then he breathed into man the breath of life. Look at that. It says he breathed the breath of life into man's nose and he became a living person. I love that translation. Breathed it right into his nose. Made him a living person. And you know, the thing that's wonderful about that is that God took his life and breathed it into this lump of clay that he'd fashioned from the dust of the ground. And when man became alive, he became alive with God's life. It was God's breath that entered man that gave him life. And that breath changed everything. The breath made man a living being. We find Jesus in John 20. Look at this. Jesus said he appeared after his resurrection. He appears to the disciples in a closed up room. And he just stands there among them and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I now send you." And look at this. After this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone, forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven." Wow. Did you hear that? That wasn't just for those 12. You know who that was for? That was for everybody who has the breath of God's presence inside of them. When Jesus breathed on those disciples, his breath on them was as if he was saying, "I'm giving you my life." You know what the life of Jesus is all about? It's all about forgiving people, isn't it? It's all about forgiveness. You know what? Whatever it is that creates the shame or the confusion or the disappointment in our lives, God not only redeems us from that, he forgives us, thank God, for that. And he also gives us this same message of forgiveness. He's given you and I the power, he's given you and me the power to forgive people of their sins, to let people free from the bondage of their sin. Isn't that a wonderful gift that he's given us? You think about this breath, and I said when we're in the valley, we have a mission there. And the mission is to receive God's forgiveness, to let his breath come into us so that we can carry his breath, his life, his forgiveness to the world around us, and to speak that same grace, that same forgiveness that goes around us. You know, as we sit here today, maybe life hasn't turned out so far the way you expected. Maybe you had dreams, and it seems like maybe now they could never happen. Maybe you've lost something or someone that's changed your perspective on life, or maybe you find yourself running from God, not knowing what else to do. On our own, all of these things are just too much for us. But thank God in the valley, we're not there alone. Even when Ezekiel was in that dark place, in that deep valley with all the dry bones, never forget the first thing it said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." The hand of God was still with him in that season, wanting to do amazing things in him and actually through him. He wanted to make a difference in his life, and he wanted to make a difference. He wanted to speak that word that would make a difference in the lives of God's people. God still wants to speak those words that makes a difference in our lives. He wants us to hear those things. So it's awesome. On our own, these things are too much for us, but the breath of God's Spirit, his presence, his word creates hope in us. And that hope he then uses in us to change the world around us, to speak forgiveness, to speak life to the world around us. I'll tell you something. God's hand is on this body. God's hand is here with you. God's hand is at work making this body exactly what he wants this body to be and making every one of us exactly who he wants us to be and what he wants us to be in this world. There's really good news. The good news is that God has redeemed us, and that redemption is eternal and for every area of our lives. I'd like you to do something with me. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. And I realize this is a very simple message, and it may not completely apply to everybody in the house today, but you know what I really do feel is that there are some of us, and I just, eyes closed, heads bowed, please, for just a moment. I do feel there are some of us here today that you might think of yourself as you sit here this morning as feeling a little dry, feeling a little, maybe like you've been going through the motions and things are okay, but you know there's something missing in your life. It's not Jesus. He's there. You know you're alive in Christ. You have that. But maybe today there's some level of shame or confusion or disappointment that has touched your life today. Eyes closed, heads bowed for just a moment. You know what? If that's you, God wants to redeem you right now. So with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you feel that, if you feel in any way in your life that there's some shame, confusion, disappointment, you just feel dry, would you just lift a hand up to God right where you are right now? Awesome. Lift that hand up way high. Let that hand say, God, I find myself in that valley. And here's the deal. With eyes closed, heads bowed, those hands lifted high. Those of you with your hands up, I want you to know something. In that valley, God's hand is on you. He's with you. He's restoring. He's refreshing. And there's a fresh breath of God's Spirit today blowing into your life. There might be others of us in this room that you're just like, you know what? I don't feel like I'm ashamed or confused or disappointed, but I just need a fresh breath of God's grace. I need a fresh breath of His Spirit on my life today. I feel like maybe I've gotten a little dry, or maybe I'm not pressing in. Maybe there's not quite the vitality in my life that there used to be. I'm not really a dry bone, but I'm not exactly what I'd like to be. And I just feel like I need a fresh breath of God's Spirit. If that's you, would you lift a hand up to the Lord also? I just want to take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you. As we lift our hands before you today, we thank you for a fresh breath, a fresh wind of your Spirit to blow into our lives today. We thank you, God, for removing the shame, the confusion, the disappointment for those that applies to. For the rest of us who just feel a little dry, a need for a fresh breath of your presence to blow through our lives. God, we thank you today for the redemption, that you redeem us back from this dry place, that you speak life over us, that you speak hope over us. God, I thank you that you speak healing over our bodies. Hallelujah. That you speak encouragement over our minds, that you speak life to our spirit, God, and give us hope and breathe a fresh breath of your grace into us today. God, we thank you for a fresh stirring of your Holy Spirit in us and through us and among us. And just as you've forgiven us, God, let us carry the message of forgiveness. Let this house, this church, let this place be a place of grace and forgiveness to those dry bones. And send in, God, those who need this refreshing in their lives, that their lives may be eternally changed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank God for redemption, huh? All right.
I just so appreciate the message this morning. I appreciate specifically those scriptures out of Ezekiel. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to quickly give you an opportunity to support Pastors Mike and Janice and just give to them. But please give to the Lord, you know, bless them, but give them to the Lord. And if you can't see to write your checks, I'm sorry. You just have to pray for interpretation and maybe God will add another couple zeros. And while we do that, this is just a pause because I don't believe that the Lord is completely done. As Pastor Mike was talking and sharing, what the Lord highlighted to me, the minute he read out of Ezekiel that God told Ezekiel to prophesy over those bones, it was like something clicked inside of me, and it was as if God said, "That's what I want you to give the people an opportunity to receive." you heard a wonderful message about the Lord breathing life into dry bones. But what I want to give you the opportunity for this morning is I want you to be able to receive a prophetic word over your own life. And all that really means, don't get spooky on me or make it more than what it is. It really is the breathing of God's life purpose over you. It's something that edifies and builds you up. And you may not emotionally go, yay, but it is the very word of the Lord speaking his purposes in life over you. Maybe reminding you of something he's already spoken or informing you of something brand new you've never even heard of about yourself. And we're supposed to, in essence, as the Spirit of God moves at times in the body of Christ, we prophesy one to another. Even in worship, you might hear a song and prophetically it is speaking and edifying you. I don't know about you, but I felt it even in the stories in the message today. I felt like God was edifying my spirit, prophetically saying, oh yes, Ben, my hand's on you. Oh yes, Ben, I've got a purpose for you. And I'm going, oh yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. And I'm not doubting it, but I sure do love hearing the voice of the Lord prophesy that to me. My spirit, that spirit of prophecy, I sense is ready to be just released here. So this is how I like to do it. I'm going to dismiss you, and we're going to just worship. But here's what I'd ask you to do. If you would like, I want you to just kind of form a line over here. And what I'm going to have is I'm going to have my wife. I'm going to have Pastors Mike and Janice. I'm going to have a couple of our elders. So Trish and Troy, if you would come up. I'm going to have Taylor. I'm gonna handpick him. This is called an audible in football. We're just like, whoa, whoa, run deep, cut left. So run deep, cut left. And I want you up here too. And then if there's some others that you're just feeling totally pressed, like you just, I gotta pray. Well, then this is what we're gonna do. We're just gonna create an atmosphere of pressing and seeking the Lord. No pressure on us up here to, you know, say something if we don't feel that there's a word or that. We just want the Lord to have freedom to speak over your life. So if you want to receive a prophetic word for you, you may get this big, long oration, and you just may simply get an affirmation of the Spirit of God over your life. But this is an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity. And maybe you've never been in something like this. But I would love to give you that opportunity before you leave. So would you stand with me this morning? And I'm going to pray a blessing over everybody. And as we release you guys, those of you who just want to take a few more minutes and maybe hear something very specific for your life and time that you're going through, I want you to come and just kind of form a line over there. And we're going to worship. And we're going to start praying for you and just blessing you as you go. And I'm going to line you up this side. So that way, as you leave, you're closer to the donuts and the coffee on that side. So, amen. Just close your eyes and turn your hearts to the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for what you've spoken through Pastor Mike and through the fellowship last night in that small group meeting already. We just feel your spirit moving and we say thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for the prophetic word that's even through this message today. And as any dry bones are gathered here today, we say yes and amen to that word. We say thank you, Jesus, for breathing life over us, in us, and all around. I just give you so much praise. And I ask you right now to bless every single person here as we go our separate ways. Bless their homes, their families. Let the Spirit of God rest on each and every one of you. Lord, let the spirit of joy, the oil of gladness overwhelm each and every one of the people here. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, hey, you guys are dismissed, and just be respectful right now of what the Lord would do. And if you would like, just come right over here and just line up, and we're going to sing.